Going on, guys. Welcome to the 15th episode of Lost in the Sauce Kansas City podcast. My name is Wesley Roche, and I'm joined with my co-host Charlie Goldman and Jack Dillon. We're going to talk about the Chiefs' amazing epic statement win over the Patriots from last Thursday, and then we're going to get into previewing the Chiefs' next game on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. First off, guys, I just want to talk about that amazing game against the Patriots. I mean, there's nothing more exciting than going in and winning week one, but it's even bigger whenever you can knock off the defending Super Bowl champions in their own house when they raise the Super Bowl banner. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, we underestimated the Chiefs a little bit. Or at least me and Jack did. Charlie, you picked the Chiefs, so, you know, I'm not gonna put you there with us, but you know, we underestimated the Chiefs a bit, and I think everybody did. And, you know, I mean, there's a good reason for that. I mean, the Patriots are the Patriots. They're the best team, you know, they're the best NFL team or maybe even sports team of our generation. And, you know, the Chiefs just went in there and made them look like fools, especially in the second half. And I just wanted to get your guys' takeaways from the game, you know, other than we're all freaking excited about the Chiefs' win. I mean, what are you guys' biggest takeaways from the win?
I think the most thoroughly underestimated person in this game, in this win, has to be Coach Andy Reid. Really, Bill Belichick has had his number for a long time in the league. Reid doesn't have good win numbers against him, but no one really does. And, I mean, Reid put together a heck of a game plan, as did the other coordinators. You know, the defensive coordinator Sutton put a great game plan together as well. I was a little critical at first because he wasn't sending a lot of pressure. He was only rushing three. But in the end, he really, really kind of got things together and finished strong. And, you know, Andy Reid, the different looks that he was giving on offense, and, you know, people say, oh, it's a college offense or, you know, they're gimmicky plays, but they worked. They threw the Patriots defense off balance, especially when they didn't have that pass rush and leadership presence of Dont'a Hightower on the field. It really got them, you know, running in circles. So I think, you know, if there is one person to really praise for this victory, it's got to go to the head coach.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the way that he utilized matchups, especially in this game, you know, I mean, I'm not sure that we've ever seen, you know, anything on that scale. You know, I mean, especially against such a, you know, good team. The one play that struck me was that, like, speed option with, you know, Kelce out of the pistol. You know, with the option to pitch it to Hunt. You know, I mean, that's something that I've literally never seen. You know, and for Reid to, like, frankly have the balls to, you know, call that play against the Patriots, I think it points up. You know, I mean, I think Reid is finally confident with this offense that he's got in place. You know, he seems to have some idea of how to maximize every single player he's got. You know, and that's different from, you know, these past 4 years. You know, sometimes he's got a scheme around guys or, you know, whatever. This year, he's just doing what he wants, you know, and it was a beautiful thing week one.
Yeah, I think that stuff with Kelce, too, it's interesting because he, you know, he knew that Kelce was going to be bracketed. That's how they stopped him in the receiving game. So he had to manufacture touches for Kelce. He's an explosive player. You can't just not get the ball to him. So he did it on plays that you can't really defend, you know, the pitch option play like you were talking about, or those, you know, those little quick pitches up the middle that he had a couple of those. I mean, you got to get your playmakers the ball, and that's one way you can get them the ball that they can't really defend. Now, you know, it didn't go for, you know, as explosive plays as some of the other guys, but I mean, it was definitely some important plays there to Kelce. And, you know, the way he utilized those matchups, like you said, that's just really impressive. You know, when he got Hunt out there in space and got him the ball, even though Tyreek Hill, he was, you know, matched up and bracketed for a lot of the day, too. And, you know, they still managed to get him the ball. And, you know, Tyreek Hill's ability to call his own shot on that deep touchdown, the 75-yard touchdown pass. I mean, how many guys out there are in the league right now are calling their own shot, saying, hey, I can for sure beat this guy and get the touchdown. Let's call this play to me. I mean, that's pretty rare, I gotta figure. You know, so everyone who's thinking, wow, Tyreek Hill can't be this number one guy, rude awakening for you, man. Wow.
Yeah, you know, and I was actually among the doubters. You know, I kind of like the idea of Tyreek Hill in the slot, you know, better than I like him out wide. But, you know, I mean, I think that with Hill, especially with Ware being out, you know, we're going to see more of that stuff from, like, shotgun where he's in the backfield, you know, like maybe paired with Hunt or DeAnthony Thomas. You know, and that's that mismatch game, you know, they came out in that one pistol formation with, like, split tight ends, and then, you know, Alex Smith, like, halfway back, and then Kareem Hunt behind him, and then DeAnthony Thomas and, you know, Tyreek Hill right by Alex, you know, and there's no way to really defend that, I don't think.
There's just so much speed, you know. It's
yeah, you know, and, like, you know, it just kind of makes them, just kind of makes this Chiefs offense like a game plan buster. You know, I mean, it's like you got the most athletic dudes on Madden, you know, and you just run roughshod, you know. There's no way to really, like, defend that. You know, I mean, I'm sure that they'll struggle at some point, you know, I mean, because they always do. But to come out against the best team in the league and do that, they've got a pretty high ceiling.
Jack, I want to go back to what you said earlier about Andy Reid, you know, kind of utilizing all the talent on offense. And I want to give Alex Smith a ton of credit for winning this game, you know, putting the game on his shoulders, and he utilized the talent as much as he could. I mean, with, you know, the great blocking that came from the offensive line, Smith was able to spread the ball around. I mean, he hit Hunt, he hit Hill, you know, he got the ball to Conley and Wilson whenever he could, you know, through that touchdown pass to Demetrius Harris. I mean, He knows how to utilize his offense and utilize all those weapons, and he was fantastic.
And he needs to be. Alex Smith needs to be that guy right now. The Chiefs absolutely need him to be that guy if this year is going to be, you know, any different from the others. He needs to, you know, let go of some of those past struggles and play with a little bit more reckless abandon, you know. He needs to get those throws out there that people have been calling for him to make for his entire time here with the Chiefs. And it looks like, if, you know, this is a case study for that, it looks like he's changing becoming a little bit more loose with that type of stuff and letting his guys make plays and taking the shots when they're there. So I think that Alex Smith, you know, has definitely stepped his game up a bit.
Yeah, what was most impressive to me about Smith was that, you know, I mean, he tossed those four touchdowns still without a pick, you know, and that's his calling card. You know, I think that as long as Alex Smith plays good, turnover-free, efficient football, you know, I mean, as hard as that can be to watch sometimes, that's the winning recipe. You know, that's what the Chiefs have done, you know, these past 4 years, is win games by not losing them. You know, I mean, as much fun as it is to watch Alex Smith, you know, go out and completely tear it up, I think that he will come back down to earth. You know, I mean, he's probably not going to toss, you know, four touchdowns in one game again, you know, if, like, history has anything to say about it. But, you know, I mean, it is a fact that Andy Reid can figure out a way to win games behind this guy. And anything above, you know, turnover-free, efficient football is just icing on the cake, man.
Hey, and he did have that one pass that, let's say it was luck that it wasn't picked off. went straight through, I think, McCourty's hands and landed into Tyreek Hill's lap or something like that when he was on his knees. I mean, that by all means should have been an interception. The fact that it wasn't was by the graces of God. But, you know, sometimes you need to get a little lucky to win games like this. And, you know, that was one point where I think the Chiefs were lucky to not turn the ball over. But yeah, for the most part, Alex Smith, I mean, he's on fire. He wasn't throwing interceptions. He was making all the plays he needed to make. The defense helped him out a little bit too. They kind of, you know, that one fourth down, there's a fourth down stand, a goal line stand. I mean, they did some nice things, you know, in that game that helped the offense get back in rhythm and get the ball back. And, you know, when you can play that complementary football, when, you know, you got the defense and the special teams and everybody kind of working together to get that win, you know, you're not going to lose a whole lot of games. So I think that the Chiefs definitely need to continue to press and work on that and make sure that they keep playing that way throughout the season. Obviously, they're already going to be facing some difficulties. Eric Berry, injured, out for the season. That is a huge, huge loss.
I was just going to get to that about Eric Berry being out for the season with a torn Achilles. Kind of deflated the end of the game for me a little bit. You know, I was really excited about the Chiefs win, but at the same time, it was hard to get too excited because you just hate to see a guy, well, you hate to see any players go down, especially with an Achilles injury, but especially Eric Berry, who, I mean, you know, has been the, you know, top guy on this defense since 2010. I mean, it really sucks, like, as a fan to see that. But moving forward from without Eric Berry, I don't necessarily think the Chiefs defense is screwed without him. I think back to 2015, whenever the Chiefs, you know, had lost Eric Berry, you know, to cancer, and he was trying to battle that. And I remember how good Hussein Abdullah and Tyvon Branch were in his place. I mean, they were phenomenal. And you know, I think that the Chiefs have the talent there with, you know, Ron Parker, Daniel Sorensen, and Eric Murray to where they can still be good at the safety position without Berry. Now, those guys aren't going to, probably not going to win games like Berry did for the Chiefs. Berry was pretty much responsible for two wins last season. But at the same time, I don't think those guys are going to lose any games for KC. And, you know, it speaks to the depth of the Chiefs' safety position.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest struggle without Eric Berry is going to be the Chiefs' defense covering some of these bigger and athletic tight ends. Luckily, the monster that they faced in the last game in Rob Gronkowski is probably one of, if not the best tight end they're going to go against this season. But, you know, you think about some of these other guys. For instance, now the Raiders have Jared Cook. That's a huge weapon for the Raiders offense to use against potentially a weakened Chiefs defense at that point. So the Chiefs are going to have to find whichever player it is. It might not even be a safety. It might be a cornerback. I thought Terrence Mitchell did a heck of a job when he had to cover Gronkowski out wide. So I think that, you know, maybe they're going to have to find who's the most physical to go against these guys in these matchups, who's not going to cause the turnovers or get burnt by these guys who can, you know, run and high point the football. It might be Terrence Mitchell. It might be Daniel Sorensen. It could even be Eric Murray, maybe even Ron Parker. There's a lot of options. We just kind of have to mix and match and see who is the best option there. Because the Chiefs have been one of the, you know, best teams in the league against tight ends and, you know, past several years. So, you know, the year, in fact, that we did worst against tight ends was the year that we lost Eric Berry. I believe we, you know, really kind of struggled that year specifically against those tight end positions.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that was kind of disheartening about the Patriots game was the lack of a turnover on defense. You know, as much as I say, you know, the Chiefs win when Alex Smith is playing good, efficient football, whatever, same thing goes on defense. You know, they win when they force turnovers. And that's been a theme of the last well, the last 4 years since, you know, Andy Reid took over. I understand that they were playing the best quarterback in the league and probably the most well-coached team in the league. You know, but the lack of that turnover, man, it really makes me think, with Barry out now, you know, someone really is going to have to step up. And, you know, part of what's going to be hard to replace with Barry is that presence in the box on run defense. You know, there's not really many guys in the league at the safety position who can play like that. And so to lose that in a year that, you know, you're emphasizing run defense, you know, that's a pretty big blow, but nothing that they can't come back from, I don't think.
For sure. Well, you know, moving on to the Chiefs' next game against the Philadelphia Eagles, we've already touched on some points with, you know, Smith and the defense without Barry. It'll be interesting to see how Smith does in his second week, if he can continue his, you know, flashy performance, you know, throwing the deep ball, spreading the ball around, and just all around being a boss on offense. Well, you know, it'll be fun to see if Tyreek Hill, you know, continues to get some deep passes. But there are two big questions that I have for the Chiefs offense, you know, going into the Eagles game. First, I really would like to see if Kareem Hunt can continue to, you know, shred defenses. You know, he had 246 yards from scrimmage against the Patriots. A lot of those yards came from the ground, and he averaged, like, what, 8.7 yards per carry, something ridiculous. And if you took away his long run, he still had, you know, over 5 yards a carry. So he was pretty awesome. I'd really like to see if Hunt can continue to, you know, keep that pace of having at least, you know, over 4 or 5 yards a carry. And then another thing, Charlie kind of mentioned this earlier, but I'd like to see if Travis Kelce can get mixed in more in the offense. The Patriots kind of found a way to shut him down the other day. I mean, he had 5 catches, you know, he wasn't in there like all the time, you know, like he normally is, getting over 100 yards. But at the same time, the fact that Kelce was able to be phased out of the game meant that, you know, the Chiefs were able to spread the ball around to other guys. So I'd like to see if maybe Hunt and Hill can open the game up a little bit more for Kelce to get some touches. But what do you guys think, you know, heading into the Eagles game? Like, what are you guys looking for from the Chiefs?
Well, I'm kind of looking at this game like a trap game. You know, not that the Chiefs have a crazy win streak going, but now there's film. You know, now everybody has seen all of the tricks that Andy Reid has, or, you know, some of the good ones at least. You know, and it's Doug Peterson coaching over there. You know, he knows Andy Reid as well as anybody. You know, was his offensive coordinator 2 years ago. You know, was a quarterback under him. If there's any coach that can out Andy Reid, it's probably Doug Peterson. So I'm concerned, but, you know, from a matchup perspective, I think that the Chiefs match up exceptionally well with Philly. You know, especially with Darby out. You know, I think it's going to be a lot of zone coverage. I don't think that they'll ever want to have Tyreek Hill in man coverage, you know, without safety help. You know, and that's just going to open everything up for everybody else. You know, part of why I think Kelce got shut down, you know, is because you can game plan to shut someone down like that. You know, if you make sure to bracket the tight end on every single, you know, passing play, he's not going to get a lot of yards. You know, that's just what you do, but it leaves other people open. You know, and so now Philly's game plan might be, okay, we've got to stop Kareem Hunt. You know, sell out to stop Hunt, and then that opens things up for Kelce and Hill. You know, or it's, you know, sell out to stop Hill, and that opens things up for Kelce and Hunt. You know, so I think it'll be, you know, something that we'll have to see what Philly comes out doing. And then just adjust, you know, I mean, cause we match up so well with them, especially on offense. You know, they've got a really strong line. One of the things I've always been impressed with Andy Reid is how he can get the quarterback out of the pocket, you know, and have those designed reads and those timing plays where even if you've got a great pass rush, Andy Reid will still find a way to carve you up.
Yeah. You know, after 1 week, the Philadelphia Eagles, given there are only 30 teams that played because of the hurricane, the Philadelphia Eagles rank smack dab in the middle of the pack as far as defense. Their run defense and you know, their points per game and stuff like that, those are better. But their pass defense in a game where, you know, they had Ronald Darby for most of that game there. I think it was towards the end of the game that he got injured. Might have to double check me on that one. But I believe they had, you know, Ronald Darby in there for a while. And they gave up 200 yards to a Kirk Cousins and a Washington Redskins team that really didn't look all that hot. You know, I think Kirk there was really struggling with some of his throws. I think he went 23 for 40 or something like that on his throws. Not a good look for him. And their offensive line was really struggling. So the Chiefs have, I think, a better offensive line this year than the than the Redskins do. And I do believe that, you know, that matchup is going to be key. Can the Chiefs offensive line fend off a really powerful Eagles pass rush and defensive line? That matchup will be crucial to how this game goes. If that pass rush is getting after Alex Smith and forcing incompletions and whatnot, you're going to see a lot of dump offs, a lot of quick passes. And I think that the Chiefs can probably get away with that because of the issues in the secondary for the Philadelphia Eagles. It'd be really cool to see Doug Peterson go against Andy Reid, I think, though. You know, kind of the whole apprentice-master type of thing. That'll be really, really fun to watch, to see, you know, if Doug Peterson can get the, you know, sort of monkey off his back and you know, go out there and say, hey, I'm as good a coach as any. Because beating Andy Reid, that would be a statement by Peterson. And it might cement him, you know, in his position in Philadelphia a little longer. So he has a lot riding on this game. But, you know, both these teams have wins. So it's going to be one of the more exciting matchups, I think, to watch. But playing in Arrowhead for, you know, a young Carson Wentz, that's no joke. He's going to probably be calling some early timeouts facing that Arrowhead noise. And, you know, after the win that the Chiefs just had, you know, it's going to be loud. It's going to be rocking in Arrowhead.
Yeah, you know, I find it funny that everybody kind of keeps bringing up the fact that Doug Peterson knows Andy Reid's offense so well. But, I mean, flip the script. Andy Reid knows Doug Peterson's offense well. I mean, Doug Peterson's offense is basically an offshoot of Andy Reid's. And, you know, a lot of the players, like, there's some really talented players on the Eagles' offense. But, I mean, Andy Reid should have an idea of how to stop them. You know, regardless of whether he plays or not, Benny Logan will have a little bit of insight on, you know, the Eagles defense, I'd imagine. So, you know, that's definitely one thing that, you know, I mean, Benny Logan practiced against Carson Wentz and a lot of those guys. So he might know a little bit of how to stop them.
Yeah. That insider knowledge is real nice. In fact, the Eagles signed Devontae Bosby, who I know that, Jack, you're really a big fan of him. He's on their practice squad. So I wonder how much he knows, and he'll be, you know, giving up to the Eagles about a Chiefs potential game plan or players' weaknesses or, you know, this, that, and the other thing. That'll be interesting to see. I don't think it'll be anything too important. I don't think he's got a playbook to hand over to him or anything like that. But it'll be fun to watch. Another thing that will be interesting. We were talking about Eric Berry earlier and his injury. Philadelphia Eagles have a pretty good tight end named Zach Ertz. It'll be interesting to see whether or not Zach Ertz can get something going against the Chiefs as they try to figure out who they're going to have, you know, out there being the coverage guy on these tight ends. Because, you know, he's short of some injuries, he's been a really, really good player for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a close game. The Eagles are an extremely talented team on both sides of the ball, and I'm really excited for this matchup. I think it'll be, you know, a nice little chess match between Andy Reid and Doug Peterson. But with that said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this pod this week. So the Chiefs play Sunday at noon against the Eagles at Arrowhead Stadium. So make sure you check out Chiefs Wire, check out all of our post-game stuff. We usually throw a ton of content after the games. And we'll be back with another podcast next week previewing the Chiefs' Week 3 matchup against the Los Angeles Chargers. Thanks for listening.